What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks. In 2023, post the 2020 rebellions in response to the murder of George Floyd, law enforcement in this country killed the highest number of people on record, 1,152 folks. So far, in 2024, law enforcement has already murdered 469 people. That's an increase of 150 people since our last roundup in April. And we don't even know most of their names. There were no marches, rallies, rebellions, or hashtags for them. Most of their families grieved in silence and solitude. Police murders are just the tip of an egregious iceberg of transgressions against our people. Law enforcement serves as a militarized occupying army in our communities and neighborhoods. They racially profile, sexually assault, and wrongfully incarcerate our folks. If we don't know what's happening, then we can't fight back. We can't adequately organize a response. So Law and Disorder is committed to providing regular Thursday roundups of news related to state violence. We hope this segment serves to expose, agitate, and build. This is the State Terror Roundup for the week of June 3rd, 2024. A little over a week ago, some of you might have caught the video that went viral of police officers at the Fruitvale BART station in Oakland, California, beating, terrorizing, torturing a 15-year-old girl, supposedly for fare evasion. Folks for sure in Oakland, but also around the world, know that Fruitvale Station is the station where former BART police officer Johannes Mezzali publicly executed Oscar Grant on the platform, also a young black teenager. The fight for justice for Oscar ignited this iteration of the fight to end state terror in this country. There's a huge mural of Oscar outside of Fruitvale Station. These cops have to walk past his face every single day on their way in and out of work. On this day, these officers walked into that station, targeted black children for fare evasion. Two of those officers grabbed, slammed into the ground, then kneeled on this child's back and legs, pinning her down on the dirty BART floor, face down in front of hundreds of BART riders, then carried her out prone position, threw her into the back of their cop car, and said they didn't believe she was a child as she begged them to call her mother. Didn't believe she was a child. That's what we call adultification, folks. They refuse to acknowledge our children, which allows them to ignore their humanity. Public transit should be free, particularly for black children, brown children, indigenous children, poor children, and their families. We got billions of dollars we can send to another entity. I won't call it a country. We send billions to the Zionist state to kill children in Palestine, but we can't make sure the children here have the opportunity to get from point A to point B without being terrorized by police. I hear stories about young people being hemmed up for fare evasion often, and each time I think of Kenneth Harding, who is no longer with us. It's hard to say that this young woman was lucky because she'll be traumatized for the rest of her life based on that experience, but she is lucky because she's not dead. Kenneth Harding was murdered over an unpaid muni fare, was murdered for trying to get from point A to point B. Last year, several community organizations ran a bill to make fare free and to stop the criminalization, arrest, and needless incarceration of young people and people of color. It made it through the legislature and onto the good old governor's desk, where he promptly vetoed it. I wonder whose campaign contribution led him to deny legislation that literally would have saved the lives of young people of color. I wonder how many more children will have to die, be beaten, traumatized with lifelong pain for what? $2.50? $2.75? Jailing children, beating babies for less than $5. Let that sink in. Source, that would be me. And in the news from our friends at the Vallejo Sun, Vallejo's Police Union, I mean Association. Unions represent workers. That's not cops. They're not labor. They have actually, since their inception, been the enemy of workers, being early union crushers. Anywho, I digress. The Vallejo POA and its president filed a lawsuit in state court earlier this month. I'm going to have a really hard time getting through this without laughing hysterically. Anyway, the lawsuit alleges that Vallejo city officials and council members planned to force the implementation of police reforms, you know, tried to force them to stop beating and killing people, over union objections. VPD doesn't want to have to stop beating and killing people, and they certainly don't want to get in trouble for doing it. So they say the city targeted union president Michael Nicolini with a series of disciplinary actions that culminated in his termination in 2021. Let me talk to you about Mr. Michael for a minute. He was the POA president who destroyed evidence after the VPD murdered Sean Monterosa, shooting him through a window and lying about him having a gun in his hand. And in March of 2020, Nishalini sent out an email to VPOA members with a photo of a police badge inscribed with a reverse swastika, which she claims not to have noticed the detail in the image. I told you I'm not going to be able to not laugh. Nishalini also sent an email to journalist Otis Taylor Jr., who I miss dearly, who had covered the Vallejo Police Department's use of force and had announced that he was moving to Atlanta. Nishalini writes to him and says, "Looks like 2021 will be a little bit better not having your biased and uninformed articles printed in the newspaper that only inflame the public. We'll warn our Georgia colleagues of your impending arrival." Taylor, and rightly so, took the message as a threat, publicized it, but his lawyer, Mr. Michael Raines, said that the statement referred to warning Georgia police to not talk with Taylor because he would not present an unbiased view. All of this, and yet the homie Michael is mad because he says the city painted him as a racist cop and destroyed his reputation. I'm sorry. The city didn't have to do anything to destroy his reputation or the reputation of the VPD rank and file members, as the lawsuit alleges. VPD took care of that all by itself, you know, with badge bending ceremonies after they murdered people, racial profiling, horrific beatings, and multiple murders. They are one of the worst, most violent, and vile police departments in the country. Source, Ryan Geller of the Vallejo Sun. And in Texas, a man is dead after family members called 911. Arlington, Texas police released body cam clips showing Austin Taylor 20 stopped by cops a short distance from a family member's home. According to police, the call came after Taylor ran out of the house in response to an argument of alleged substance use. Police did not deem him a threat and even said so on the radio. Taylor runs, the cops leave. A little bit later, family calls again. They say Taylor's now armed. Cops come back. Taylor leaves in a truck, driving off, driving away, not posing a threat to officers at all. Cops pursued this time. They allege Taylor fired a round through the windshield. We don't have video of that. There's just a video that shows the bullet in the windshield. Now, remember, the family told police that Taylor was dealing with substance abuse issues and was not of sound mind. Cops shot back. He did not die, luckily, and is now sitting in the Tarrant County Jail, arrested and criminalized for substance abuse. Yep. That's going to get him right healed. This is at least the third police shooting in Arlington this year. In February, an officer shot and killed Sean McKay during a traffic stop. And in April, an officer shot and killed Michael Bassey. Source, Juan Salinas II, Kara News. Turning our attention to Colorado, lots of police terror in Colorado these days, y'all. Well, this time, police shot a man who pointed a gun at, wait for it, his own head, sitting on his own couch. A friend of the victim called the police for help. Wrong folks to call for help. They do not help. They often, almost always, harm. Had the friend called mental health workers or had 911 dispatch sent mental health workers, this would have turned out differently. You cannot arrest your way out of suicidality. It is so bizarre to me the way this country criminalizes suicide. It's literally illegal, and you can be incarcerated if you express you are feeling suicidal so people don't express it. They suffer in silence and sometimes follow through. Anywho, the cops came and shot a man because he wanted to shoot himself. Let that marinate. Source, Aldo Sfaldi from the Denver Post. And last but not least, good old Florida, where a deputy has been fired because he shot an airman in his own home. There is nowhere, y'all, that we are safe from the violence of police and policing. The mother of senior airman Roger Fortson, an Air Force leader, said at a press conference Monday morning that she wants the deputy criminally charged. Eddie Duran, the sheriff deputy who shot the young black man on May 3rd, was terminated from the department on Friday. His mother says, the mother of the victim says, "I want justice for my child. You're not going to throw me a bone by firing him. Take his credentials. Take his pension. Bring up charges against him." Fortune was 23. He was in his home in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, when he was shot by Duran, who was responding to a call reporting a domestic disturbance, according, anyway, to the county sheriff's office. Source, ABC, Florida. This has been the State Terror Roundup for the week of June 3rd, 2024. State Terror Roundup soundtrack provided by Coffee Brown, an Oakland musician, singer, and songwriter who has been a force in the Bay Area's hip-hop and soul scene since the early 1990s. You can check her out at kofybrown.com and her website and socials are linked from our site at kpfa.org. Shout out to my producer and co-host, Jesse Strauss, for helping me curate the content for this segment. You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world for all of us to thrive in. That's it for this episode, fam. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programming is funded exclusively by listeners. If you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. Remember, we all we got.